Oh, it's high up here. Grace and peace to you from God our Father above, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many people here, by a show of hands, were born as baptized as a child that you don't remember? Right away, you have something in common with Samson. Usually these people in the Old Testament, there's a lot less we have in common. But with Samson, even before he was born, he was dictated exactly how he was to live his life. You see, before Samson was born, an angel appeared to both his mother and father and said, you will have a son, and he will be a Nazarite. Now, how many people, you don't have to answer this question, that grew up as a Christian and felt like there were rules in your life that meant you couldn't go out and do everything that your friends were doing? I know I grew up in Southern Baptist land, and while we love to say Jesus is free, faith is free, but as a Christian you have to do this and don't do that. It's something we've had to live with our entire lives. And now here was Samson, a Nazarite. One of the rules that he had to live by was he could not have any wine. Not only could he have no wine, he could have no vinegar, no grapes, and no raisins. Another one is he couldn't even cut his hair anywhere. He couldn't even scratch his head in fear that it would cause hair to fall out. Another one that he had to do is he had to avoid corpses or dead people, or graves. Even if it was a funeral of a family member, he couldn't go to. He had to stay away. But what do we know of Samson? We know that Samson was impulsive. In one instance, he went and he saw a woman who is a Philistine. And his father said to him, "Isn't there one Jewish girl that you would like?" And he says, "No, Dad, I want that Philistine. She pleases me. Get her for me." You see, Samson usually got his way. So he goes to this Philistine town. He wants to marry this Philistine. They're mad at him. They trick his new wife into figuring out some riddle. But on the way there, before that riddle came, Samson came across a lion, and the Spirit of the Lord came down upon him, filled him with God's Spirit, and he killed the lion with his bare hands. Then he left that lion that was a corpse that he caused. He should have run away as a good Nazarite. So then, after he goes to this town and he comes back home later, he sees that same dead lion. Knowing he should go a different path, he decided not to, because he didn't feel like it. So what did he do? He sees that there's bees that have accumulated in the chest cavity of this lion and its honey. Well, not only is he not walking away from this corpse, he's now going up to it and pulling honey out, eating it. Then it says that he went to his mother and father and gave them some of this honey, and he didn't tell them where it came from. Now I can imagine how many parents do we have here? I know we should have a lot. I see some hands. Imagine you tell your child not to do something. They go and do it anyway, and they show you the fruits of their labor, and you think, "Oh, this is such a good thing." But he doesn't tell you where it came from. This is something that I think kids do. Now here, Samson's a little bit more than a kid. They say he was at least an adult at this point. But he should have known better. But he did it anyway. You see, if you follow Samson throughout the book of Judges, Samson has a tendency to do what he feels like. We call it impulsive. But today's generation, we label as an instant gratification. You see, Samson had all these rules to live by, but if there was something that he wanted, he just did it anyway. He said, forget what everybody is trying to tell me. Forget how I should live. I'm just going to go and do it my way. So after these Philistines trick him, then here goes Samson. He's supposed to provide them with 30 clothes because his wife gave up the riddle. So he goes off and he kills people, causing more corpses. I'm sure his parents knew about this one. And I'm sure that his parents had a word for him to be a Nazarite. But then he brought those 30 corpses off those 30 clothing and gave it to the Philistines. And Samson would go around doing his own thing. But Samson is very much like us. We know the right thing that we are supposed to do. We know that we're not supposed to do certain things. We know that we're not supposed to go out to certain places at night, maybe bars, maybe drink too much and do all of the socializing and coercing at night. We know that there's things that a good Christian should not do. But how many of us have lived without sin? Don't show your hands, because if you do show your hands, you're going to be wrong. We've all sinned. We have all done something we weren't supposed to. We have also done things knowing it was wrong, and we did it anyway. Here is Samson, who is called before he is born to be a judge for the people. But did you not know that you too are called? You too are called to live in whatever life God has chosen for you. Little bit of a story. When I was first called to the ministry, I didn't do it. I tried to get away from it. But then when I was in seminary, I was talking with my youngest brother. And my youngest brother, I think he was just finishing up high school. And he looks at me and he says, I'm jealous because you know what God wants you to do. You're going to be a pastor and I'm still trying to figure out what God wants me to do. And I looked at him and I said, you have the ability to do whatever you want. I would say he has more in line with Samson, because Samson did his own thing and God was always with him. We talk about work and doing work, not works righteousness, but work. We go to work, whether you're a carpenter, whether you're a farmer, we have that. Whether you're a banker, whether you're a secretary, and the list goes on, a teacher. But then you also have a calling to be a parent. You see, this calling that God has given you, you will mess up in doing this job, doing this task that you have been given. But you also have something that Samson did not have on a regular, everyday basis. You see, when Samson would have all these miracles, no matter what he did, the Spirit of the Lord would descend upon him. If we look throughout the Old Testament, whenever there is a miracle, whenever it's one of the prophets, the Spirit of the Lord descends upon whoever is doing it. But at your baptism, you received the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that Samson wrestled with a lion, that same Spirit that Samson did everything, lives inside of you. And it makes you more and more holy each and every day. You see, that Spirit lives within us, making us better. Knowing that when we mess up, we are not lost or forgotten. I talk with people all the time who feel abandoned and feel lost, who feel like they can't come to church or else it burned down because they are lost. They yearn and ache for the day that they could be with the Lord again, but they are so ashamed they cannot do it. And you see, they have something in common with us. They have something in common with Samson. In Isaiah it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand." You see, there is nothing that you can do, no matter how many times you mess up and do your own thing, knowing it's wrong. God will never leave you. God will never abandon you. Because what is the, as good Lutherans, you should know this. And where are my confirmation students at? Where are they at? Where are the confirmation students? All right, that, now they look like deer in headlights. What is the only thing you can do to get to heaven? The only thing. Somebody help them out. Do you know? What is it? What's it? No, the only, well, yes, you'll have to do that. What is the only thing you have to do in life? Help them out, people. Believe in Jesus Christ. That is the only thing. That is the only thing you have to do. And then when we look at Samson's last and final prayer, interestingly enough, this is the only time we are guaranteed through Scripture that Samson has talked to God. And we hear this final prayer, his final words. He says, "O God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may take vengeance with one blow on the Philistines for my eyes." Now here, Samson, we can read, is also thinking about himself, because he wants vengeance for the eyes that they tore out of his head, but take vengeance because Samson's eyes are finally opened. It's now finally making sense. Here he is, may think that he's lost and forgotten, because if you remember in our lesson today, all these Philistines, about 3,000 on the roof alone, and all the lords of Philistine, or the, that doesn't sound right, and all the lords were there, and they were honoring their false god Dagon right before they brought Samson out. And here is Samson asking that one final thing, to break the oppression of the Philistines, to free his people, and to tear down this false god's temple. And he just prayed, and God gave him the strength. You see, we will do many things that God wants us to do, and we don't even realize it. How often do you go out each and every day and say, you come home each and every day, and you say to yourself, "I did something for God today." Not many of us can actually think exactly what we have done. I remember back when I was in the military. And when I was in the military, I did my own thing. The only thing I wouldn't do would be the Lord's name in vain. Well, I had a friend whose nickname was Moonshine. And he lived up to his nickname. Well, we were down at the EOD school down in Eglin Air Force Base, Florida. And he would drive, we'd have to go to the range every day, and he would drive, and it was a 30 to 40 minute drive, early in the morning, and then once again at the end of the day. But I remember one day he asked me, "Tell me about God." So I told him about God. About 2 weeks later, he asked me about Jesus. So I told him about Jesus. About 2 weeks after that, I told him, he asked me the Holy Spirit, and I answered. And then about 2 weeks later, he said, "I've been saved." I remember looking at him and thinking to myself, "God, I'm trying to get away from the ministry. I'm trying to do my own thing." I even asked Moonshine why he came to me with these questions. And what he said was, "You don't say the Lord's name in vain. I know you believe, even though you don't want to show it to the world. We all see it." You see that no matter where you go, no matter what you do, You will be like Samson. You will mess up. You will find yourself in trouble for your selfishness, like Samson. You may be tied up by Delilah because of your selfishness. Hopefully not a physical, but maybe a mental. Maybe you get lost, caught up in something you shouldn't be, whether it's financial. But know that God is always going to be with you. God will never forget you or leave you. And even when you mess up, you will find that people will still see Christ inside of you. During this Lenten season, I want you to be mindful how God is using you, because you have been saved by grace through faith. We are in the process of being sanctified, and that takes time. But know that that process does not stop. Even when we are tied up, even when we are imprisoned, that process of being made more holy does not change. Live in the Spirit of God. Be mindful of what God is doing in your life and how He's using you, even when you don't even know it. So during Lent, I want you to make sure that you are giving God the glory for your families, for your school, for the ability to come to a church and worship and not have to be in somebody's basement or in hiding. God is using you every day. And just ask that you will become aware of how God is using you. In Jesus' name, amen.